I've got an amazing word for you. And the name of this is called There's More on the Way to You. Whether you feel like it or whether it's in your thinking process, whether your circumstances reveal it, I'm here to tell you that God is orchestrating a plan right now that you may not even be aware of. And it's going to show up really, really soon. A healing, finances, your marriage, I mean, the launching into your ministry. God's got the full force of the kingdom coming your way. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And we're going to read three verses here, 5, 6, and 7. It says, "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment." Right up here on the screen. You can right up here on this screen. "And they were afraid. And he said unto them, Be not frightened. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified and is now risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples," notice this, "and Peter." Now, Peter was one of the disciples, so why didn't he just say, tell the disciples? But what we're going to be talking about here today is this little phrase, "go tell the disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you to Galilee. There shall you see him, and he said, as he said, unto you that you would see him." This is an amazing, amazing phrase here. Like I said, he could have said, and who was this? This was a man, they called him, dressed in white linen. This was the angel that was still at the tomb. So when they came into the sepulcher, the angel said, he's not here, but go tell the disciples and Peter and that you're to go and meet him at such and such a place. The story that I want to talk about in this moment is, why did he separate Peter from the disciples? The truth of it is, it's because Peter at that time needed more than what the disciples needed. Meaning that some days you need more than what you need other days. See, Peter had failed him miserably. Peter had denied him 3 times. Peter failed the Lord. He failed the team. He failed himself. Peter wasn't feeling really good about being a top shelf disciple. He didn't see himself at this moment in this magnificent way. He was on the bottom. He was not feeling good at all. And so here's Jesus, who knew that, had given the orders to the angel by way of Holy Ghost to begin orchestrating this amazing plan of restoration, unbeknownst to Peter. Peter didn't know this was going on. Peter was just how you feel whenever you feel like you're miserably not a good Christian. You miserably feel like I blew it. You know, I've really failed in life, in marriage, in ministry, in my business, in my moral compass. I mean, you can get hit anywhere along this journey because the devil's going to make sure he hits you. And he's going to try and catch you at a time whenever you're unprepared and you're more moving by feeling than faith. You know, and he's just trying to get you out of the race. He doesn't want you to have any impact at all in the harvest fields. He don't want your story to have any merit at all in your shadow touching people that know you, that know you go to church, that know you're a worshiper, you know that you're faithful. So the devil's always trying to cut the pipeline, cut the wires of electricity to your house. And so what's happening here is that Jesus knew this. He knew that Peter, on this time of his life, needed some extra encouragement, extra confirmation, extra love, extra support. There's days you, my dear friend, there's days Billy Burke, there's days I need more encouragement than other days. I mean, there's days I don't need any. I'm just flowing and walking in the Spirit and God's strength. But there's those days whenever I need to be reminded of a prophecy. I need to be reminded of something that happened in my younger me. There's days whenever I need a verse quickened to me, and I need to be super strengthened. I need extra oil on some days. Not all days, but some days you need more than others. This was a time in Peter's life whenever God knew that he needed to rescue this man who failed miserably so that he could have the future that God had planned for him. And so he tells the angel again, tell the go get the disciples and Peter. God's always trying to include you, no matter how good or how bad things seem to be. Your health, your personal walk with the Lord, your bank account, you know, your daily devotional. A lot of times those things get hit. Why would they get hit? Because they're part of your lifeline. You know, you're worth attacking. You know, every believer has a shadow, and God wants that shadow to grow, that influence and impact. And if the enemy can cut in there, you know, and roughshod you into believing that you're not worth it, you're not good enough. Who is good enough? God don't heal you because you're good. He heals you because He's good. He don't bless you because you're so good. He blesses you because He's so good. God is good. I mean, and God is good all the time. That's what we say. And as we see in this wonderful illustration here, that He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. See, that name Peter could very well be your name in there. That very well could be your name in there where, you know, God is trying to say to you, you know, this is a time in your life whenever you need some extra oil, as the wise virgins did in Matthew 25. See right over here some of these scriptures, Matthew 25, where the virgins needed the extra oil. Because Peter had failed, God knew that that stain in him would remain unless that stain of failure was cleansed or taken away. See, forgiveness is in heaven where it's stricken from the books, but cleansing is when it's removed from the believer's heart. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, He's able to forgive and cleanse. Forgiveness is different than cleansing. Look at this. He's able to forgive and cleanse. A lot of times we get forgiven, but we don't get the cleansing. And that cleansing is whenever it's taken from your heart by the washing of the water of the Word, as it says in Ephesians 6, or by the fire of God. I mean, there's so many things that can help take that stain out of you, but it has to be taken out. Forgiveness and cleansing. Say that with me, forgiveness and cleansing. 1 John 1:9, right here again. He's able to. Doesn't mean it's automatic. It means you gotta come into that throne room. You know, you just can't say, well, I'm living by the grace of God. I never have to give account for anything. That's a road headed, you know, to a broken down bridge. I mean, there's a trap waiting for you thinking like that. There has to be some form of accountability. You can't earn your way out of it. You can't buy your way out of it. But you can walk into a throne room and get released from it. It keeps you in the presence. It keeps you before a holy God. And just that alone is able to cleanse and to wash you in a way like nothing else can really do. So here's Jesus, you know, He's giving this order, this Holy Spirit, giving the order to the angel to give to those that came to the tomb. And He was saying basically, I went to all the disciples to meet me out by the sea and include Peter. Include Peter. He was zeroing in on Peter because he knew that day, not any other day maybe, but on that day. Come on, say it with me, on that day. On that day, Peter needed some extra help, just as you and I need that extra help from time to time. You know, it's really important that extra oil, what God was realizing is that extra time, extra attention sometimes is needed. And we're all busy. We're moving quick. We do our daily devotions. We do it on the phone. We do it in a cab. We do it on an airplane, and we read. And so we're faithful, but a lot of times we're not so diligent in really gleaning from what we're reading. You know, and we're almost happy that we read. We're happy that we said a prayer. But really letting a look what happens, that moment of being still, Psalm 46:10, being still and knowing that He's God, is so valuable to let the work of the Holy Spirit go inside of you. I tell you the truth, there's so many people that know all the healing scriptures, but they don't get healed. They know all the prosperity verses, but they don't prosper. And it's because it has to be more than a mental assent to knowledge. It has to be where that knowledge meets Holy Spirit. And something wonderful, a wonderful transformation takes place in the heart of the believer. And that's what I believe is happening to you even as we speak in this broadcast. Like Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That's called reflection. Reflection helps settle what you're learning. It takes it from being out of the mental state into the heart state, that sanctuary, that place where Holy Spirit lives, that place where He takes a logos and turns it into rhema, takes knowledge and turns it into revelation. Revelation is where heaven just opens to you. The healings and the finances and the favors, you know, and the all of those wonderful blessings, kingdom blessings that God has for you. He does have it for you. It may not feel like it right now, it may not seem like it right now. Peter was feeling miserable at the time. Let's look at this because this is so amazing over here in verse 7. It says here, go your way. Make sure you tell the disciples and Peter. Peter knew nothing about this. Peter's still over here feeling like a failure. And all the time over here, while Peter's feeling like a failure, God's over here orchestrating his restoration. As Abraham was taking Isaac up the mountain, God was bringing a lamb up on the other side. Listen to me. God is orchestrating right now in where you're at, your comeback, your reestablishment, your restoration. God right now has a plan that is beyond good. I mean, it just makes good look sad. It is great. It is magnanimous. It is wonderful beyond imagination. That's what Ephesians 3:20 says, to even go beyond what you can even ask or think according to the mighty faith that works in you. I mean, as long as you're not in quit, as long as you don't quit, as long as you don't get angry and mad at God and mad at the church and mad at the preacher, if you can stay out of that dregs, if you can stay out of that aroma, and you can just continuing to say somehow in some way, you may not know somehow, and you may not know the way, but you'd know that you can trust Him. What Billy Burke knows, he believes. What Billy Burke don't know, he trusts. Some things I know and I believe, and some things I don't know, but I trust. That's what this relationship with the Holy Spirit's all about. Because there's that verse in 1 John 2:21 says what we have an unction from on high who knows all things. You don't know all things and I don't know all things, but the Holy Spirit inside of us knows everything. He knows why it happened and how it happened and why something didn't happen. We're on a providential prophetic path. This place is not our home. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. We're headed for a city not made with hands. Oh, I'm telling you, we're going to live on the new earth. The city's going to come down, sit over on the Fertile Crescent. All of that's wonderful. But today is today, then is then. And today God is saying, come on, I want you to be infectious with hope. Zechariah said, I want you to be a prisoner of hope. These are all powerful, powerful revelations that God moved through prophets and holy men of old to transmit holiness and righteousness from generation to generation. That you would be on an ever-ending path. That's what is in Proverbs chapter 4, is it 23? That says the righteous are on a path that gets brighter and brighter and brighter until that wonderful day of Jesus. And the part I'd like about this is so amazing is this, is that the angel, this man dressed in white garment here in verse number 7, verse number 8, it says the sepulcher, and what it says in his verse number 7 is, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you to Galilee, that's the Sea of Galilee, where you shall see him as he said unto you. In other words, the angel is already preparing Peter's restoration, already orchestrating it. You say, well, that's if he's orchestrating something for me now, I sure can't see it. Well, no, sometimes we don't. It's that good. Did you ever go out when the light was too bright and you were blinded by the light because it was too much light for your eyes to handle? You had to block it with your hand. Put a pair of sunglasses on. That's what's coming your way. Not darkness, but a light so bright that it blinds you with blessing. It's overwhelming to grow an arm, to grow fingers back, to see if you happen to not have sight, to get a new eardrum, to walk into a job that you're not prepared for, but you dreamed of, and God gave you that dream. That's a light so bright. To have reconciliation from someone that's been torn apart for years, to have a spiritual healing of sorts, is just, some things are just beyond. And that's why I go back to Ephesians 3:20, beyond what you can even imagine. That's what's coming to your house. But you've got to believe today that this is already being orchestrated, set in motion, even though Peter didn't know about it. But God knew. What does God know? What does God know? Well, God knew that fig leaves wouldn't take care of the plant. So he ripped the fig leaves off Adam and Eve and put on fur coats. It was God that had the first animal's life taken, and the blood and the fur, and that blood put on them a blood covering versus a man-made fig leaf covering. See, God knows things that we do can't wash us, can't free us. So he sets a plan in motion, and all he asks you to do is join the plan. The plan already has all the grace you need to be healed and to be delivered and to be saved and to be blessed and be highly favored and not exempt from trouble, not exempt from challenges, not exempt from demonic strategies and warfares and human weaknesses and jealousies. No, then we're not exempt from any of that. But to be able to know you're on the right path, moving in the right direction, gives you all the confidence you need to know that somehow, some way, come on, say somehow, some way, by the power of God, he's going to get you through this and into what he has for you for the rest of your natural days here. This was an amazing plan. See, God knows that, you know, Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, right here. It's Jesus said that a kingdom divided can't stand. A house divided will be unstable. And that's why, because of the plans that he had for Peter, were amazing. He wasn't going to let Peter denying him three times ruin the plan that he had for Peter. But he knew Peter needed some extra work. You know, extra work. Back in the school days, we called it, you needed a little bit of tutoring. You needed to stay after class a few times. If you were the football coach, you stayed over and we had to run extra laps around the stadium. A coach knows, a teacher knows, tutors know. Whenever a student, whenever an athlete needs a little bit of extra that can push them over the top. You're so close. You're closer than you could ever imagine to an open door that you've just dreamed of. Yeah, maybe it's coming later in life. So what? It came. You know, I mean, maybe you weren't able to get a hold of that car that you wanted when you were a teenager, whenever you were in your 20s, and you just, but you can now. You say, but I'm not as young anymore. But it doesn't matter the age. It matters that you got the blessing. You got the blessing in this temporary place called Earth. You know, where we're in this meridian, this millennial time, this time frame, meridian time. There's a day coming whenever there'll be no time. You know, whenever that restraint will be broken, it'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That's wonderful. But right now, God wants you to get everything on this side of heaven that he has for you, that he wants you to do, who he wants you to become. Who you're to be, what you're to have, what you're to do. All of those wonderful blessings are yet to take place in your life. God, you know, failure's never a person in the scripture. It's always an experience. God never called anyone a failure. They had a failure experience. But God always stood beside as much as He could, as long as they were breathing and moving in the direction where they were reaching and receiving His help. Don't turn them away today. Don't quit. Don't give up on you. Here's a great verse. It's one of my favorite verses. It's really pulled me through a lot in my life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. Look at this. Though your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Come on, look at it again with me. Though your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. What's that mean? It means that a lot of times in your heart, you're going to feel like I failed. I can never get back to where I was. I can never be the man, the woman. I can never be the young person. I can never, I had everything and I blew it and I can't do that. And you just begin to really sign a death signature on your life. That's your heart condemning you. Here's what God says in 1 John 3:20. Though your heart condemns you, I made your heart. I'm greater than your heart. And I say this, because I've begun a good work in you, I'm going to complete that good work. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I will complete that work until you see me face to face. And we will finish this. God says, I'm not just a starter. I'm the author and I'm the finisher. I will give you the faith to start something and the faith to finish something. My friend, I'm talking to you today. Oh, I'm talking to you from a place, not just a place of knowledge, but a place of having gone down this path a few years, having to scrape off some blood, set some bones in place, clean the heart up, and just say, hey, you know what? Let's get back in the fight. Let's make this a good fight. That's what Paul said. I have fought, right? I fought a good fight. What's a good fight? One where you're fighting. One where you're just not being fought at. But one where you're actually fighting. In your mind you're fighting. In your mouth is coming out the words of no quit. The words of I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. These are all additives. These are all fighting volume of words that can release a flurry of activity to offset whatever you may be feeling. This strategy here, more is coming. Peter didn't even realize that more. To him, it was just another bad day. But to God, it was, I'm going to see to it that today, because of where you are, because of what you've been through, and because maybe nobody else, maybe none of the other disciples could relate. I mean, who can relate to what you're feeling, really? They haven't been where you are. They haven't gone through what you've gone through exactly. Similar, but not exactly. And sometimes we're asking people to really relate to us in a way that's difficult for them outside of Holy Ghost. I'm telling you today, this mighty Jesus, this person of the Holy Spirit, He knows you. He knows exactly by working with you more confirmation of who you are, more confirmation about what you're to do, more confirmation about the things He's going to bless you with, more confirmation about the miracles, I mean the flurry of miraculous activity that is on the assembly line coming your way. There's no supply chain that's broken in heaven. It may be broken here on the earth, but it's not broken in heaven. There's a steady stream of supply coming to your house, coming to you, coming to those that live under your roof, coming to everyone connected to you. All of the people that you pray for, all of those people, I mean, as this hits you, it's going to just ricochet through their entire life. You can't quit. You're needed. You can't quit. You are needed more now than you ever were. I mean, just because you've been through some stuff, just because you're going, I mean, if you haven't been through anything, you can't help me. I need to see some people that come out that have the nail scars in their hands and Jesus said, I'm alive. Yeah, He touched me. Yeah, I was dead for 3 days. Yeah, I suffered a lot, but I'm alive. I mean, right there, that's the attitude that breaks the backbone of demonic activity. Yeah, you hit me. Yeah, you moved and caused me to say and to do and to fail. But look, I'm back. I'm in love with Him more than ever. And there's a support from the Holy Spirit from the inside out that makes me stronger than I've ever been to know that my God loves me unconditionally, not because and not if. He just loves me.